Welcome to Next Level Christianity, a podcast designed to teach Christians biblical truth, help apply it to their daily lives, and gain true clarity of what it means to follow Jesus. Our churches and Christian communities are being influenced by cultural and worldly views, and few pastors are teaching on how to live a biblical life. My name is John Alkire, along with my beautiful wife, Carrie Ann. Please join us as we have important conversations where biblical truth and life application collide. We hope these episodes help equip and motivate you to take your Christian faith to the next level. So grab your Bible and join us in the conversation. Welcome to another episode of Next Level Christianity. I am your host, John Alkire, and across from me on this Saturday night is my gorgeous and bestest friend in the whole world, Carrie Ann.
Hey, you guys. Good evening.
Hey, we're excited tonight for this.
We're excited.
We realize this is unprecedented times still as we're dealing with lockdown across the U.S. with the coronavirus, and people are hurting, people are struggling, and there's just a ton of uncertainty out there. But we hope that this can enlighten you a little bit. I think last episode 20, we talked about fear. And when we feel fear, you know, we trust to put our trust in the Lord. And that was episode 20. So if you haven't heard it, check it out. We like to, you know, use these scriptures. It was Carrie and I's favorite scriptures to that hopefully bring hope and peace to you. And just understand how our God is and how he loves those who love him. And we are not to be afraid in these times, and we're to trust him. So check that out. But we just kind of moved into a new episode here, episode 21. And it really came up from you, Care. Really how we got here. It was really exciting how this developed, and we're excited to bring it to you because it's going to be powerful. But what I want to do, Carrie, is share a little bit of how we got to what we're going to talk about tonight, which is what is our purpose as Christians, and what does that look like, and how did you help us get here?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so the word purpose is kind of one of those, you know, one of those words that you just kind of, people throw it up on the wall and like kind of see what sticks,
sure.
Right? Like
yeah.
There's just so many things that can come out of that. And I was listening to a work training for work, and it was a great leader in my industry.
Successful, right?
Extremely successful.
Big teams.
As far as, far as building big businesses, lots of lives have been touched, so he definitely knew what he was talking about. But something really caught my attention. But halfway through our training, he says, in reference to our personal small business, he says, this is now your purpose. God has created you for this purpose, to run this business.
The business, yeah.
Right.
Yep.
And it just, you know, as a Christ follower, as one who believes these scriptures are completely from the Lord, that stopped me in the track. So much so that I had to stop the training and evaluate, what does that mean? Like, what is God's purpose for me in my life?
Yeah.
I know it's not just to run a business that helps other people and helps my family.
Right.
I know that's not my purpose.
Right.
But I wanted to know, as we always want to bring you back to, I wanted to know, what does the scripture say?
Sure. And I loved how that stopped you in your tracks. Wait a minute. I don't think this is my true purpose as a believer.
Mm-hmm.
You came to me.
Yes.
I remember you were just like, I'm like, what is up? Like,
yeah.
You just were like,
yeah,
needed my attention. You're all worked up in a good way. You were just kind of wired up about it. And you're like, hey, and then you told me about it. And then I shared what we're going to share tonight. Not exactly. We did a lot of research on this. Hours, as you know, go into these, but I kind of shared of, yeah, this is, that business isn't your purpose. That's
not
God's
purpose
for your life at all as Christians. And we're going to clear the air here. We're going to hopefully give clarity to that. So,
yeah. And then a little disclaimer on that is like, in Ephesians, it talks about going to your husbands, wives. This is specifically for the wives. It talks about going to your husbands and asking them the questions. And as John and I have grown in our faith, that was not something I would have done 10 years ago.
Right.
But as we're learning what the scriptures are, I know that I can bring him my concerns and that you're going to help find those answers, or you're going to guide them, or you're just going to go discover yourself and teach me. And so that's how this podcast.
It's how we got here.
Yeah.
And tell us just real quick before we get into it. After I shared a little bit, we went into the scriptures and we kind of started doing the research on God's purpose. How did you start feeling after the next day? And because this has been a few days.
Yeah.
Was it freeing?
Yeah. Well, it's super exciting because you guys.
You already knew your purpose wasn't a business or your career. But when you kind of got stopped in your tracks and then we talked about it, and we went back to the word. How did it change you?
Well, we're already in an emotional season right now. Mm. Everything is extremely heightened.
Big time, yeah.
We're in the coronavirus fight across the United States, throughout the globe. Children are at home. Houses are full.
Yeah.
Our concerns are for paper products and food and jobs,
yeah,
and safety. So we're already in a really heightened spot. But being able to identify what my purpose is, it calms those emotions, mm-hmm, and two, it really puts fuel. Like when you pop out of bed, you're like, I know what my purpose is based upon the scriptures without having to add in a whole lot of extra detail or fluff.
Sure.
Because it's very simple. You guys are going to see it's very simple what God prescribes for us.
Yeah. So I love that. And that's how this thing came about. And I loved it when we were talking about it. We were like, we need to do this. So if you're ready, grab your Bibles. If you're not, if you're walking, listen, but we're going to post again. There's a lot of scripture here. We've structured this well. It's easy to follow, hopefully easy to take away some things. But again, on the Facebook and Instagram page at Next Level Equip,
yeah,
you can get to those scripture verses. We put them in the orders that we talk about them. I put them in that chronological order so that as you're listening to it and you have your Bible and you're actually studying with it, you can just chip away at those verses and they're all in order for you. So here we go. I mean, it's just like Carrie said, how we get trapped, purpose. We get in this trap and we start defining it in a worldly way. We define it, based on our careers, your job, your business, your title, your net worth tends to be a purpose. It feels like a purpose. Your house, your cars,
marriage status.
Yeah, marriage status. Kids. Being a father and a mother.
Sure.
My purpose is I'm a mother and a father, and that's noble, and doing good. I'm a good person. I live a good life, making a difference. All those things kind of go around in our heads. Is that's kind of my purpose? And I've been in many churches as we were just talking before this. Together, but we've heard pastors talk about, you need to know your purpose and God's purpose for your life. And I always remember going, what does that mean? Like, am I in the right profession? Like, seriously, there'd be these moments throughout my church going is should I be serving more? Should I be doing ministry? And we've been down that road before. And man, am I doing what God really wants me to do? All those questions have come in, and I'm sure you listeners have probably gone through this process. And what we've learned through the gospel message and the process of being saved is that the purpose in life for us as Christians is discovered through, it's not the world, it's discovered through the restoration of fellowship with God. Mm. Okay? That's where it comes from. And it's not by the world's world standards, and it's not by our own standards. It's by God's standards. And that's what we're going to go through tonight. God's purpose for us is to live out, it is not to be living out the toil under the sun, which we're going to talk a little bit about. And as we know with that, that came from Ecclesiastes, and that was Solomon.
Love him.
Who shared that. And we were going to learn later what Solomon discovers about toil under the sun and what the real meaning of this life is. And we'll leave that for the very end. But it's not about what career we have. It could be a calling. We have a calling. I want to talk about this. We hear calling in Scripture. We talked about this last night. Dr. White, we were listening to one of his sermons. He was talking about calling, people who are called. We know that Paul, let's use him as an example, Apostle Paul was called to be a bring the gospel to the Gentiles. Like, we know he was called to do that, is to bring the good news. We know people are called. We hear stories of Christians. I was called out of this to do this, into a ministry or into a job or into a nonprofit, right? It's not necessarily our purpose, though. Our called from God to go do this doesn't necessarily define totally the purpose. And we're going to talk about why we're saying that.
Yeah.
And we learn through scripture what our purpose is as Christians. So we're going to walk through these. And we will say, as I want to set this up, you and I came up with these three. We have three points we want to make on this. Three, what we would say, purpose. God's purpose for our lives as Christians. And I wanted to say this. Through our research, there's arguably other points, okay? Other assumptions could be drawn from scripture of what God's purpose is for our lives. So I just want to make a claimer there, a disclaimer. But we have chose these three based on the heartbeat of the word we feel of scripture.
Sure.
And what we know of that. So if we go into number one, okay, God's purpose. What is God's purpose for our lives? Number one, and this, Carrie and I have talked about, this is like, this is the, we could end the podcast with this one, okay?
That's true.
But we wanted to take the three because we think they're important too.
Yeah.
So number one is to glorify God. I mean, that's the end all, is to bring glory and praise and worship God. That is our number one purpose. It's not the business.
No.
It's to glorify God.
It's to glorify God.
We are chosen by his grace to have faith in Christ, to glorify him in all things. All things. Okay? This is really the Christian's supreme purpose. And again, this could end the podcast.
Right, shut the mic down.
Shut it down, right? But how we show glory, as it's written in Isaiah 42:5, he says, I'm the Lord. I created the heavens like an open tent. I made the earth and everything that grows on it. So we see his sovereignty. Mm-hmm. I'm the source of life for all who live on this earth. So listen to what I say, because of who he is. His proclamations, his teachings and commands are holy and true. That's why we listen to him. It's him saying, listen to what I have to say, because I am sovereign over all things. And we glorify him by listening and agreeing with things that he's taught, with what he says. And we do this by reading the word regularly, is where we're going to learn what he has to say to us, and meditating on it day and night, as it says in the Old Testament. But in everything we do, as we will see in scripture, is to glorify God. Are we glorifying God in our work? Our work isn't our purpose. Glorifying God in our work is the true purpose.
Correct.
So this gentleman is a little backwards.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Do we glorify God in our marriage? These are just questions.
Yes.
In our habits.
Yes.
In our words that we say, in the actions, and in just our lives, right?
Emotions.
Emotions, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
So we're going to dive into a couple verses that talk to this. Carrie, why don't you take a look at 1 Corinthians 10:31. We're just going to hit a couple scriptures.
Okay. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether then you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God.
I love that verse. That's another one that's, all right, done.
Yep.
It's whatever you eat, whatever you drink, or whatever you do. Uses these big terms. Do all to the glory of God. That's our purpose, okay?
Correct.
But here in 1 Corinthians 6:20, I like this one because it's a nice adder.
For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body.
In your body. What we eat, what we drink, what we do.
All things.
All things. And I love that piece. So again, we bring glory in our body, through our body, through how we treat it, how we act, and all that.
Yes. So good. We got another one for you. Revelations 5:13-14.
Well, let's set this up a little bit. This is powerful, because what we're going to get a picture of is John's vision of the throne room in Revelations. And literally in the verses, it says thousands upon thousands of angels are circled around God and Jesus, is the way it says, because we've got the Lamb and we've got the King, or the throne and the Lamb there. So he's seeing this, and that's the setup here. And I want to just kind of share this glory and how they're being glorified by the angels. It's pretty amazing.
Okay, so John is the author, guys, of Revelations. So that was news to me at one point.
Oh.
So I just wanted to let you guys know that. All right, so again, Revelations 5:13-14. And every created thing which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them, I heard saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
So again, just the whole giving glory, even at that level.
Yeah, number one, give glory.
So giving glory to God. So mm-hmm. That's one. And number two is a big one. And again, we could have ended on that one, but obey his commands comes up so much in scripture. A lot of our podcasts, I mean, I think we've used them in a ton of them, but it's so critical that we understand as Christians, this is our purpose.
Yes.
And that's what we're going to talk about. So
yes,
this is how we glorify him. We believe his truth, his power, his holiness, and we follow what he says. We get these by the scripture, learning the law, learning what Jesus said and taught. You have the Sermon on the Mount teachings. Yeah, I think it's like 18 teachings, if I count it right. But he taught us 18 principles to live by. The two greatest commandments, which we're going to talk about. So a lot of this goes under his commands. What did he teach? What was the things that we're supposed to take away and live by? And we want to start, and when we go in the verses, we want to start from the very beginning. I felt this was really critical, and I'll talk about that. But Carrie, go ahead and read Genesis 22:18.
Sure. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you obeyed my voice.
Because you what? He obeyed his voice. Now, this is Abraham.
Yeah.
Okay. He was our father, and he is called to God's great purpose. We know, we're not trying to be Abraham here when I say this, he obeyed my voice. There's only one Abraham here. I get it. The point I wanted to make is, it's a simple term because you obeyed my voice. He obeyed God, and therefore he became the ancestor of all God's people because he was faithful and did what God asked him to do. His voice is found through God. His scriptures, like we learned, we heard from God, right? And we're to listen to what he has to say to us, and we're to obey
through the scriptures.
I mean, Abraham heard him, right, in this time, but we know Abraham was faithful. His faith led to righteousness. He was righteousness by faith,
correct,
not by works. And nope. We know he's the seed, and we know he's our father figure from the beginning. But it's just critical. I love that because it started from the very beginning and how he was obedient. This is a lot about obedience. So
good.
Anyway.
So good. Want to take a look at Deuteronomy?
Yeah.
All right. So our next verse that we want to share with you guys is Deuteronomy 11:1. You shall therefore love the Lord your God, keep his charge, his statutes, his ordinances, and his commandments.
Again, why do we do this?
To bring him glory.
Like point number one, to bring him glory. We bring him glory by this. Yeah. It's just the bottom line.
Yeah, so good. All right, Matthew 7.
This is the Sermon on the Mount. Set this up. End of the Sermon on the Mount from Jesus. He finished his sermon, and he finishes with these words, and we'll talk about them.
Sure. Matthew 7:24-27. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who has built his house on a rock.
Again, this is when Jesus finishes the Sermon on the Mount, and he goes on later in the verses. He talks about when the rain and the winds and the water come and slam against the house, it did not fall because the house was built on a rock. What was he saying here? And as you look at these verses, I encourage you to do. What is he saying there? There's probably a ton of interpretations. What I took out of it, and as Carrie and I researched this, it's the house represents our Christian life. and it should represent our Christian life. And the rain, the storms, is divine judgment. And only the house built on the foundation that he's talking about, only the house is built on the foundations of obedience to God's word, which we're talking about here, and teachings, which is this number two, obey his commands, which we are called to repentance and reject salvation by works and trust in God's grace to be saved. That's it. And that's what Jesus is referring to here. And it just takes this obedience from us that allows us to have this firm foundation in our lives and in our faith, and that we can carry on. And then the rest of the passage talks about building your house on sand and how that will be destructive because you have no foundation. And that's why it's so important, is it points to us really focused on, as he says, put what I'm saying into practice, as some versions say. This one hears these words of mine and acts on them, which is, this is our version, which is the American Standard, New American Standard Bible.
New American Standard.
And version. But other versions will say, put these into practice, which I love that too. So anyway, we have to hear them, take them, learn them, and execute on those.
So good.
John 14, 15, again on obey, number two, obey his commands.
If you love me, you will keep my commandments.
Oh, well, that was simple, right?
There you go.
Simple, powerful piece.
If you love me.
Of the truth from Jesus. This is from Jesus. Love for Christ is inseparable from obedience. And again, we bring him glory when we walk in his ways.
All right, John 14, 21 through 24. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him.
Once again,
same.
Jesus is making the point for the habitual practice of obedience to his commands as evidence in the believers that they have love for him and God, right?
So good.
He goes on in verses 22 and 24 here in John 14, saying virtually the same thing. Actually, it's past 24, but if you read that passage, you're going to see a lot of repetitive stuff there. He really makes the points about how his love is demonstrated by our obedience. It's just by following his commandments. It's just on and on in this. 1 John 3:24.
The one who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him.
So there's more to that. As you read its context in 1 John, he explains the process in this of believing in Jesus, loving Jesus, and obeying. So there's a process. It's belief, love, and obey, which you'll see in that, which are the evidences of true salvation. A person who is religious or claims Christianity but doesn't share these qualities may not be. And that's what John's saying there. But again, obedience is where we're getting this. Is keeping the commandments. And then we just wanted to kind of throw a little love subset in here because it's super important, and love is such a huge part of our purpose.
Yeah.
And it kind of falls in this obedience and obey his commands piece. You notice in 1 John he mentions love, and we know this is the call to all believers. One of the two greatest commandments is found in Matthew 22, 36 through 40. Mm-hmm. Love your neighbors as yourself. Mm-hmm. But we look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. John, same John that was in Revelations that we talking about the throne room and his vision, says we love because he first loved us. Mm. That's why we love. And so 1 John chapter 2 in your Bibles is dedicated to love. Verse 11, he says, this is the message we have heard from the beginning. From the very beginning is love from the Father, from God, from the Creator. We know in the Old Testament we are commanded to love as well as the new. It's not just a new that we hear this. And this is incredible, okay? That's why I love the Bible. it is our purpose and glorifies the Father. Listen to Deuteronomy 6:5. It's going to be where we hear, love your God with all your heart, soul, and might. If you go to Deuteronomy 6:5, that's the verse. It says, we're to love our God with all our heart, soul, and might. And again, Jesus stresses this the same way in Matthew 22.
That's cool.
Then we see in the Old Testament again in Leviticus 19:18, incredible. Nobody taught me this. I figured this out through concordances and prep and all that. But Leviticus 19:18, you shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbors as yourself. I am the Lord. He said that back in Leviticus.
That's cool.
Jesus brings it back in Matthew 24 or 22. Again, here is this whole love thing, right? It's the Old Testament, New Testament, and this is why it's a subset, loving your neighbors yourself. It'll come up a ton in the New Testament. Just to give it a reference point, love your neighbor is not just found in Matthew 22. It's in Matthew 5:43. It's in Matthew 19:19. It's in, we're going to post all this, it's in Matthew 22:39, Mark 12:31 and 33, Luke 10:27, Romans 13:9, Galatians 5:14, and James 2:8.
So we better pay attention to it.
It's important. That's why we subsetted it to obey his commands. Number two of our purpose is to love.
Yes.
And I love Romans 3:9 says, love does no wrong. This is Paul. Love does no wrong to neighbor. Therefore, it is the fulfillment of the law.
It's good.
Wow. All right. And as we continue on this, we finish with 1 John 3:16-20. Kara, you want to read this one?
Absolutely. 1 John 3:16-20. For we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and in truth. We will know by this that we are the truth, and will assure our hearts before him. And whatever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our heart and knows all things.
It's a beautiful piece. There's a ton of info in here from John.
But, so good.
But love is the sure test if someone is alive or dead in Christ.
Hmm.
You're not alive in Christ if you don't have love.
It's fruit.
It is the fruit that presents itself through their sacrificial life. It's a sacrifice to be a follower of Jesus. We sacrifice for others. We love others. We put others above ourselves, not by what we say on Facebook, social media, but by what we do.
Yeah.
Our actions.
Actions are the fruit.
And how we treat others. Love rolls back into where we started with number two of our purpose. Love is the manifestation of our obedience to his commands.
That's so awesome. Isn't this exciting, you guys?
Hopefully you guys find this exciting. This is crazy. Because it is not worldly. It is not what you guys and I thought it was.
All right. You guys remember what they are so far? Number one, glorify God.
Number two
is to keep his commands with a little subset of love.
A little subset of love. Love is obedience, though. So three, our last one. Is sharing the gospel.
Sharing the gospel.
Okay. Sharing the gospel is a big deal. And as we know, as we set this up, I'll say it again, the social media platforms have gone crazy with the saints sharing verses, hope through that. And pastors and churches are doing prayer services live on Facebook and social. I think it's awesome. I've seen a bunch of posts just today about other people recognizing all the churches, and said one person said the same thing I did. I saw today in the last episode was like, churches, all of your activity on social right now, now that we're at this shutdown, don't quit when the virus is gone. This is what it should look like. saints keep pressing out there, right? Yes. Throwing the seeds, so, providing hope, sharing the gospel. And this is what we're going to talk about. And Matthew 28, what's a podcast without Matthew 28?
Matthew 28.
If you don't have this verse memorized, or you don't have the address, as Carrie calls it, Matthew 28, 18 through 22 is the passage where Jesus is about to send to the Father to be on the right hand of the Father. He doesn't, he isn't just talking here about to the disciples. I mean, no, that's who he's talking to in that period. But he gives all believers a clear command. This is non-negotiable. This is our mission as Christians. So, Carrie, if you want to read it, I'm sure y'all can read it in your head as you or memorize it, but just go for it.
Yeah, absolutely. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.
Yeah, it's pretty powerful. All sovereignty, I love it. All sovereignty and lordship was handed over to Christ. Yep. He says it there. Christ is on the throne, and we are to go and share the gospel and teach them the commands of Christ, as discussed in number two, obey his commands. We're to go teach those, and that's what he says in there. He threw that in there, which was nice. And in Mark's version, it says, go and preach the gospel. So a little different spin to it. It doesn't say that in this one, this Matthew, but Mark says, go and preach. So Mark interpreted it that way. But we know that's what he's saying is take the message of hope, take Christ's story and salvation to everybody and anybody. And that's what we're to do. And everybody's doing it now. And again, we just encourage you to continue this on your socials and in your conversations as this virus goes away. Psalm 96:2-4. This is awesome. I want us to see this as what it is under sharing the gospel.
All right. Psalms 96:2-4. Sing to the Lord. Bless his name. Proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. Tell of his glory among the nations, his wonderful deeds among the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. For he is to be feared above all gods.
It's just a beautiful piece about just sharing what's great about our God out there. That's what it's saying here. Sharing his glory and goodness through salvation, his wonderful deeds, his worship and praise. We want to talk about him. We need to talk about him. This is part of sharing the gospel. They need to know not only the message of Christ and the hope through Jesus and having faith that will bring grace and salvation, but just how great our God is, how sovereign our God is, what he's done already, and what he's going to do in our future. And anyway, if you're not sharing with others through your life or your testimony, encourage you to on social media. We keep bringing it up because everybody's on their phones. Mm-hmm. I just encourage you to do that. It's a powerful thing. More on sharing the faith is Romans 10:14-15. And in Romans 10:14-15, Paul shares the process by a series of questions in there. And we're not going to go through that. But if you look at Romans 10:14-15, you know, that's the verse where he's like, how are they going to know? How are they going to hear it? Mm-hmm. Right. He's asking all these questions. And he's really talking about Israel here. I know that. So you Bible nerds out there, they're like, wait a minute, he's talking about Israel. I know he is. But he's also talking about the presentation of the gospel. And later in Isaiah, if you look at Isaiah, he talks about Isaiah 52:7. He puts in how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news mm-hmm. and good things. And then, you know, here we are in Romans 10:14-15. You go to 17, and this is the real message by Paul. He says, faith comes from hearing by the word of Christ.
Yeah.
That's where faith comes. Yep. That's it. And just as you and I have come to know him, as you are a believer, how did you hear it? Think about this. How did I learn about Christ? How did I come to Christ? Who told me about it? Where did I hear it? Pretty much, if it's a real deal, it came from the gospel. It came from somebody sharing the hope and life of Christ and life through Christ. The sad truth and study in 2018 that I looked at showed that only 64% of Christians believe sharing their faith is optional. 64%. This is 2 years ago. 64%, I don't know where it is today, but this is 2 years ago. It's still close. 64% Christians believe sharing their faith is optional.
That's hard to believe.
It's a study. And that's just one. And I looked, hey, as you research these statistics and just go Google and start, just say Christians sharing their faith, statistics on Christian sharing, you'll find all kinds of stuff. As you do that, you'll find lots of ugly numbers.
Yeah.
Okay. And of the lack of spreading the gospel. And that's what this is saying. It is not optional.
No.
It is Matthew 28 that Jesus was not saying it's an option.
No.
So just clarify that.
Yeah.
Jesus called us to do it. Our forefathers brought the message from the very beginning, as we know, sharing about God, sharing about salvation, pointing to the Messiah. The disciples shedded their blood and lives for it.
Yes.
So that we may be able to hear and gain the saving grace of God through faith in Christ came from them.
Yes.
Okay. Our purpose is to share the gospel with others. It is our mission for the Christian life.
Yes.
Again, we evaluate as what is important, right? We must not confuse our purpose with the worldly things. As we tried to make this very clear through God's word, our purpose is glorifying God, obeying his commands, and sharing the gospel.
Yeah.
And I wanted to share, there's nothing new under the sun. And this comes from Ecclesiastes 1:9. The verse reads like this: what has been will be again. What has been done will be done again.
Hmm.
There is nothing new under the sun, people. You didn't put that. I did. As a modern expression, there's nothing new under the sun is often used as a world-weary complaint against life's monotony. When Solomon wrote the statement, he was emphasizing the repetitious nature of human life on earth. This is what he's talking about here. And the emptiness of the living only for the rat race. You feel like that sometimes out there? You feel like you're running the rat race? Feel lost, not sure what this whole thing's about, what this purpose of your life's supposed to be, as we're talking about? But what does Solomon finish here in the book with his findings? He says, now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the duty of all mankind.
Mm-hmm.
For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil.
Mm.
You can find that in Ecclesiastes. That is Solomon. And I love to end on that as we look at it and we just discover there really isn't anything new under the sun.
No.
But man, through Christ and through faith in Christ, we do have a purpose. We have a big purpose.
Yeah.
And,
It's a great purpose.
And we hope through life's rat race, worldly corruption, and now through this virus, we don't seek our purpose for what's under the sun, but to anchor our purpose into these three truths in our lives. Glorifying God is the big one.
It's the ultimate.
Obey his commands. With a little subset of that love being our driver in there.
Yeah.
And sharing the gospel.
Hmm.
And that's it for tonight.
Oh my goodness, you guys. We want to hear from you. We would love to know if this is a tool that you guys are going to utilize. This is so exciting. This is such a great thing.
We get a lot of downloads. We get a lot of people checking us out, which is really cool. We are just blessed and humbled by that. And we're glad we have a good turnout and we've had great feedback. So she's right. If this hits you good, questions, hit us up on our social media handles.
We'd love to hear from you.
Would love to hear back from you. So that concludes tonight. And we hope you're doing okay.
Yeah, we're praying for you guys.
We're praying for those that are impacted.
For this country.
Everybody's been impacted, but we're praying together on that. And we just hope we can get through this and God's will be done sooner than later. So
God's will be done for sure.
But anyway, thanks for joining us. Now hopefully you have a better understanding of what God's purpose for our lives on this earth is, and that is what we wanted to deliver tonight. So, hey, hang in there. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye.